We start today on Beacon Hill, where the House is working through 217 proposed amendments to a police reform bill. At last check, there were well over 100 amendments left to go before the chamber can vote on the bill itself, but things are moving quickly. So joining us now from the State House to give us an update on where we are is WBUR's Steve Brown. Steve, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hi, Tiziana.
So, Steve, we're in the second day of debate. What's the tone been like there at the State House, and where are we in the debate on this legislation?
Well, yeah, we're slogging through things, I guess, is the best way you could say. It's hard to read the tone here because there are only a handful of legislators actually in the building and in the chamber. Many of them are participating from home. Now, the key legislators, the chair of the Judiciary Committee, the chair of the Ways and Means Committee, the chairman of the Black and Latino Caucus, who we'll be hearing from later in the show, are all in the building. As a matter of fact, that's why he's not here right now, because they're voting on an amendment at the moment. They're here, but everybody else is scattered about around the state, back in their districts. And on a big bill like this, it makes it go a lot slower, because normally everybody would be here and they'd be literally in the back room talking about amendments. And, hey, how about if, you know, we give you this, you give us that, and the horse trading that goes on. Now it's all done remotely, Zoom, if I guess. I don't know if they actually use Zoom, but, you know how that is. It gets a little confusing,
yeah.
And everything is slowed down immensely.
Steve, have you ever seen anything like this?
No. I was thinking on the way in. I mean, this is such a hot-button bill. If we weren't in the middle of a pandemic, if the State House was not closed to the public, it's open to members of the press who have a press ID to get in. It's open to the legislators. It's open to the staffers. But it's not open to lobbyists. It's not open to the general public. If this were not in a pandemic, these halls would be teeming with people on both sides trying to get their point across. You would see hundreds of off-duty police officers in the halls here, in the gallery. You would see hundreds of people from the Black Lives Matter movement and the ACLU all up here trying to make themselves be heard. I guess the Red Sox aren't the only ones that are playing in front of empty stands. The Massachusetts legislature is doing that as well.
So, Steve, before we let you go, 217 proposed amendments all in. I know they dispatched with about 40-something yesterday, but that's a lot left. Is there going to be a overall vote today on this legislation, or are there days to go, given how slow this process is, as you were just explaining?
Yeah, I think things might pick up a little bit. They've drawn up what's called a consolidated amendment, which they've taken. I think there were 24 amendments altogether. They put those and they reworked them. They're not exactly the way they were written. The original amendment was written. They kind of rework it and everything, but they take 24 of them and they put them all in one amendment. And they say, okay, we're going to have a vote on consolidated amendment A, which is the one that's floating around right now. They haven't voted on it yet because people are taking some time to read what's actually in it. And something that might be in it, an amendment that might have said, you shall not do this, in the amendment, it'll say, you shall. I mean, it's crazy. So they have to kind of really read every line and see, what does this really do? So that's taking up a little bit of time, but that will move things along faster in that you take 24 of those 217 amendments and just wipe them off the table, take one vote. And the votes take a lot longer now, too, because everybody, as I said, was scattered across the state. Roll calls usually would take 3 minutes here. They're taking on average 20 to 30 minutes for every roll call vote.
Well, it is a fascinating picture of this combination of great urgency and then potentially grinding detail and process. Steve, thanks for illustrating it for us from the State House. That's WBUR reporter Steve Brown. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Tiziana.
We started the hour today at the State House, where the House is working through 217 proposed amendments to a police reform bill. We got an update then from WBUR's Steve Brown. We are joined now on the line by Massachusetts Representative Carlos Gonzalez, chair of the Massachusetts Black and Latino Caucus. Representative Gonzalez, I know you have to go back and forth with the through the chamber, so thanks for joining us here on Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
So to begin, I know there are a lot of amendments still to consider, but on balance, where does the House stand right now in terms of an overall vote on this legislation?
Well, we're hoping that we can get through these amendments by later on this evening and be able to pass a bill late tonight.
That would be soon. Are you expecting to be able to accelerate and bundle some of these amendments to get there, or have you gone through the gnarliest of those amendments now?
Well, we're looking. I think there's a couple of amendments that have already been consolidated. I think there's going to be some that are going to be roll called, but I'm optimistic that we will be able to get through this, working through late in the evening, and hopefully vote this bill favorably.
So we have seen some heated debate. The House bill generated a lot of amendments. Not all are created equal in their import and their impact. Where is the controversy, Representative, and why has this been so contentious?
Well, I think that when you are trying to address a long history of systematic racism, you're trying to address and reform law enforcement as we know it. Obviously, in such a short period of time, there's going to be different opinions on how to get to the same conclusion. And I think that's what we're seeing here today. But I believe in when we met with police unions and police chiefs and individuals that have a stake in this, including advocates and the protesters that are out there demanding for change, the call has been answered by providing a bill that can try to address some of the issues. There's a lot of more work to do beyond this bill, but we're moving in the right direction, and that is the goal.
You talked about a bill addressing some of the issues. You chair the Black and Latino Caucus. You worked with Governor Baker for months on the bill that he released in June. You wrote to the heads of the Senate and House, Karen Spilka, Robert DeLeo, asking them to keep their focus on the core provisions that the caucus prioritizes. Can you tell us, listeners, our listeners, what those core provisions are?
Well, the core provisions are basically providing adequate training to our law enforcement officers. In addition to that, we want to make sure that we provide them assistance, whether it's with mental health, counseling, to support the daily demands that police officers have. So POST is a standard training component that will be overseen by an independent body that will not only provide the standards of training, but also have an investigation unit that will be assigned to address misconduct when it is reported, and then an oversight board that will make the determinations whether a officer will be getting certified and then be able to get decertified if he or she does not meet the standards of the training that they receive as well as their obligations to the oath that they took.
Representative Gonzalez, I didn't realize you weren't done with your list. Please go ahead.
Okay. In addition to that, we requested that in our demands that civil service review be reviewed because we need to be more inclusive in the law enforcement institutions. When you look at the state police that are basically close to 90% white and male, I think that's a problem. So we need to look at civil service, how it's impacting recruitment efforts, how it can increase diversity within our law enforcement, including our corrections office, including our municipalities, being able to have a police force that looks like the community that they serve. That's one. And then the other issue was looking at a commission that will study systematic racism. I think that's critical and important because we're trying to address in a short period of time many of the 300 years of racism that has inflicted pain in some communities more so than others. We have a huge amount of poverty in some communities. We have $8 of wealth in communities of color. So we need to address that. So it's not only about police reform that we have to address, and this bill will do that, but we also have to look at equitable changes that can lift people up from poverty and provide them opportunities to purchase their homes. And
so
I can go on and on about
you.
The ills.
Yeah. I know that you have limited time, and there are some things I think it's essential we get to. We've been covering this for days, and the hot point, or at least one of them, seems to have been qualified immunity, which we've talked about, we've explained to our listeners here on this show. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear qualified immunity in your list. So I have two questions for you. Is that not the most contentious component? And in your mind, since that seems to be a sticking point, how important is addressing that component to you in this bill now?
I believe that the communities of color are demanding to hold police officers accountable when they are accused and charged with misconduct. We've seen, can talk to you about Springfield, police officers that have been fired for misconduct, rehired, fired again for misconduct, and rehired. That system is broken. So holding police officers accountable for misdeeds is important. Now, qualified immunity, 10 days ago, I don't think anybody knew what qualified immunity was. Again, it wasn't part of our core plan, but we understand the dynamics that it plays in holding police officers accountable. So we took an initiative to look at it, review it, and I think that in the House bill, we have it when a officer gets decertified, he or she will not be allowed to utilize the defense of or be protected by qualified immunity. So that's where we stand today. I'm happy to vote for that House bill that will, again, decertify somebody without the ability to have a defense of qualified or be defended by qualified immunity.
So I think I'm stumped because you're really sounding like this is not a big deal. This is something that's going to clearly be able to go through. There's a way to do this. And you are expressing optimism about tonight, but we've heard so much heat on both sides, on the sides of police officers, on the sides of advocates. We've heard great tension. A tweet last night from Representative Nika Elugardo tweeted last night after the vote on Amendment 116, which would ban no-knock warrants if children or anyone over 65 are present. Here's what she said, quote, "I just cried for the first time over a vote. 83 of my House colleagues voted for at Rep. Liz Miranda amendment to protect children from the violence associated with no-knock warrants. 83 of 160 protected our babies over an armed, trained officer who determined his life is not in danger," end quote. Steve Brown at the top of the hour told us, you know, people can't be in the State House watching these proceedings. What is going on there? Is this more divisive than things that we've seen in the past? Are you finding yourself needing to lead in a different way to move us forward? And is our community as a Commonwealth going to get something here that is going to move us forward?
I think it's important that when you are in a leadership role, you can't lead with emotions. And there's many emotions on both sides. It's important to bring people to the table, to have hard and difficult conversations, but also to agree to move some things that you agree with to a position where you can come to some agreement. And I think that's important. And again, qualified immunity is very important. I strongly believe that we need to look at it. We look at it hard. But again, I think 10 days ago, nobody knew what qualified immunity is, and everybody has taken a stance on it without real clear understanding of what it is and what's the implications beyond police. So we're going to stick with our core issues. Qualified immunity is in a sense, a issue that needs to have further study, I believe. And again, I'm going to not lead with emotion. I'm going to hope we're going to ask that this bill hold police officers accountable, that if they are found to have misconduct, that they could be independently investigated and charged and convicted and decertified. And I think that's the goal, and that is the mission that we're staying focused on, and that's what we're going to hope to achieve by this bill.
So my last question for you, we spoke with Chelsea Police Chief Brian Kies on the show on Tuesday. He expressed both concern about the speed at which this was happening, but also the level of inclusion for officers in the drafting process of the House bill. We also spoke with Rahsaan Hall, director of the Racial Justice Program for the ACLU of Massachusetts. He said he felt officers had undue influence over the bill. Are you satisfied that all parties have had appropriate input, and as a result, it's possible to come out with a bill that will satisfy the broad range of people who have a stake in this?
That is our goal. Again, that's what folks elected us to do, to come here with open minds and be able to negotiate difficult situations and be able to come with a product that can be in the best interest of the community at large. This is not a police bill. This is not a community bill. This is a bill that's going to lead Massachusetts into addressing police misconduct, reforming the law enforcement institutions, looking at diversity within our police departments, and as well as studying structural racism and making some significant recommendations to address those ills. We have, after this bill, we have a lot more to do, but I think this bill moves us in the right direction at this moment, and it answers some of the cries, not all, but some of the cries of the many thousands of protesters that took to the streets in Massachusetts and across the country.
That's Representative Carlos Gonzalez, chair of the Massachusetts Black and Latino Caucus. Representative Gonzalez, I know you're in the thick of it there, so thanks for taking a few minutes to join us here on Radio Boston.
Great. Thank you.